Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, Allerdevil, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm all right. I've just found a little thing I bought from Tokyo Hands about three trips ago.
Oh, my God.
We were talking about the Japanese postal system last show. And this is actually like a mad kind of... Whenever I go to Japan, I always buy like greetings cards and stuff like that because they have really unique, very colourful, very interesting musical productions in their cards. So I always buy a few interesting cards. But I do have like a collection of fish, vegetable, kind of, I don't know what this, it's sort of like a postcard, I suppose. But Tokyo Hands always does a very, a pretty good line in interesting greetings cards. And this is like a fish head, for those of you not watching on YouTube.
Oh,
it's like a weird kind of vinyl sort of postcard. It's absolutely disgusting, but
it's pretty cool.
It's been in my possession for about 3 years, and I've had
you
no cause to use it. You've got a fish head as well.
Yeah,
we both got our fish heads. Yours is a little bit more girthy. Yours would cost a bit more money to send via post, but God, it looks real.
Yeah, this is like a plastic food, right? And it's in the studio. You might have seen it during the original tour. American Pete picked it up and sang "Wonderful World" with it. I see skies of blue. It was really, really quite fucked up, but it's cool. I love this. It's pretty graphic.
I like the. I like that the innards look a little bit like a fleshlight. So don't you be tempted. Don't you be tempted, Christopher.
Oh, God.
What a perverse image that would be. Oh, you got the tail as well. Oh,
yes.
What happened to the body? What happened? Who created? Who gets the body?
It's chopped up. It's behind me.
It's chopped up out.
In the
right.
The sushi part of the set. Yeah, man,
lovely stuff.
Dead fish, awful. But
dead
how
fish,
are you? Other
can't
than
beat
that,
it. I'm good. Just got back from Madeira, Chris. If you've never been to Madeira, I heartily recommend it. What a gosh darn island that is!
And it's in
full
the
fun and games,
west of Portugal in the Atlantic, right? Very beautiful place.
Yeah, it's just stuff. It's just near Tenerife and near Africa. But yeah, Portuguese, very, very hilly, as you can imagine. It's where Cristiano Ronaldo comes from, the footballer, the much maligned, weirdly, one of the most talented footballers who ever lived and still a dickhead. amazing. He still manages to excel in appearing like a bit of a dick. It was really, really good. There's this bit where you take a cable car up to the hill. Ooh. And I think back in the day they used to use these kind of like, is it rattan furniture? Is that what you call it? It's like a straw kind of furniture sort of settee sort of thing. Anyway, they used to transport goods from the top of the mountain to the bottom of the mountain to the coast using these kind of like little chairs. And these people used to sort of skid down the hill.
Oh, I've seen that. So, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah,
in a Tom Scott
now
video,
it's.
I think. Yeah.
So now it's so you just sit in them, and it's just like a little kind of sofa on skates, and you get these two blokes and they skate down the down the hill,
yeah.
And then they jump in a taxi, get to the top, and then they just do it over and over again. It's really good stuff.
I saw that in a Tom Scott video. It's pretty entertaining. Mm. The Portuguese equivalent of a rickshaw.
Yeah. Only very much one direction. Like, you cannot go uphill, obviously. But I would say, like, the one thing that makes me giggle is that, God, cobblers, you know, people who fix shoes. I didn't really explain cobblers there. But cobblers must be completely, you know, must be pretty happy dealing with the amount of shoe leather, because these blokes really have to jam their feet into the ground to slow and speed up the these little rattan sofas. So yeah, it's really, really good time. A good time was had by all. The food was great, the drink was great, they make great port out there. Oh man. big fan.
You lucky devil on your European travels. 1 week Bosnia, the next week Madeira.
I wasn't in Bosnia.
You went to Bosnia, didn't you, the other day?
Oh yeah, well, not the other day. I was saying no. I didn't go to Bosnia. I went to
Serbia.
Belgrade.
Serbia.
Serbia.
All right.
Near enough.
All the beers.
All the same Slavia.
Where have I been? That's good. Recently, I went to Yokohama Chinatown, the Cup Noodle Museum. Woohoo! To be fair, it was quite fun. You get to make your own cup noodles.
I mean, let's pump the brakes here. You get to make your own pot noodle, which is something that I presume you can do anywhere. Your different flavours, cup noodles? You put in your different flavours that you like? Is that how that works?
Yeah, you get like a cup, you put the noodles in. You get to just basically choose the flavours. There's not much to it, really. And you get to... Most of the time is spent. You go into this big room and people are just decorating their cup noodle cup. And I was like, this is boring. This is not what I'm about.
A lot of, like, Japanese kind of tourist trap stuff in any town that you go for is... And you can go and paint something. Like, it's always like, you can paint a bit of crockery or an egg. It's like, I'm all right for painting, to be honest. I'll do that in my own time. And they do, anywhere you go, you can go to any town in Japan and paint something, a cup.
I got the cup noodle. I literally just wrote a broad noodle on it. And that was it. It took like 10 seconds. Meanwhile, the people around me were like fucking doing like Monet level artwork on it, spending 25 minutes, half an hour. And I was like, okay, I'm done. And the staff like dragged me off to go and put the various toppings in it. And I got like some cheese, I don't know if you've had cup noodle, but the meat in it, right? It's not actual meat. It's rather ominously called mystery meat. And I got mystery meat.
They shouldn't be saying that. I mean, the PR should not have. I'm sure that's not an official cup noodle term, is it? Mystery meat.
What? Mystery meat. I think it's beef gone. I don't know. It's beef, but it's very cult like. I'm trying to remember the name of the guy that started Cup Noodles. What is his name? He's like quite a famous guy. And
Jonathan Noodle.
Yeah, that's it. Momofuku Ando. I think he's from Thailand originally as a kid, and then he grew up in Osaka. But the museum is very cult-like. Like, you go in, and there's a big Momofuku Ando statue in fucking gold. And then I sat through this animated video where they have, like, the story of Momofuku Ando. And then there's a big picture of all the people who've shaped the 20th century. It's got, like, Oppenheimer, Einstein, and John F. Kennedy. And then right in the middle is Momofuku Ando with his cup noodles. I don't doubt cup noodles have done wonders in the post-war era. They're kind of handy, I guess. But I know they're good, but I feel we might have over-exaggerated the importance of cup noodles.
Well, if you can't be celebrated in your own museum, and you know, and I was in a... on an
That's
island
true.
A few days ago that celebrated Cristiano Ronaldo pretty much every chance that they had. But, it probably was quite revolutionary to have a dried noodle, to have that sort of process to dry a noodle out. I mean, it must have been like, what is happening here? This is absolutely wild. These can stay on the shelf forever.
I think, I just love the way they did the story. It was like, Momofuku realised he wanted to help the people. And
he didn't. He just made some bloody noodles and stuck it on his shelf and made a load of money.
What they don't really dig into is how he like got done for tax evasion or something in his first business. Yeah. He like didn't pay tax.
Oh, sorry, I can't find my accounts. I dried them out. They're so dry. They're so brittle. I can't file them. Oh.
Add water. He wanted to help. He saw like people eating ramen after World War II, and people seemed to be happy. And he was like, I wanted to recapture the smiles of the people and find a way to make noodles and all this nonsense. And then he realized he watched his wife make some tempura, flash frying, and he was like, wait a minute, if we get some noodles, we basically flash fry them, and then all we have to do is add water later. Bang, we've got noodles. The water rehydrates them. Job done. And then he went to America, and he was trying to sell it to Americans, and they're a bit like, it's rubbish, because it was just like a lump of like hard noodles originally in a bag.
Like a cake,
yeah. And then he went to America, and he saw like a... There's an animated video, and it's ridiculous. It's not in English. If you go there, there's no English, but it's still worth watching. It's quite well animated. And it's like, Ando-san went to America, and they've just got a shot of a street and a very fat man eating a very big burger under the American flag, and it's like just their image of America. And then he like spots someone having some food out of a cup, and he's like, that's it, cups, isn't it? And from there off he went, cup noodle, job done. And he made loads of money.
He's retconned that. I was trying to find a way to make a new kind of cement. Oh God! Did you have like your cup noodle? And you know, like when people go to restaurants or fast food places, they have like different. You have the root beer, and you have the lemonade, and you have the. And people just do a little bit of each. Did you do that with a little bit of each with every little powder that you could put in there until it was MSG-tastic?
No, unfortunately not. I think you only get to try the original flavour, and then you get to modify that. Oh, that's a lie. No, I think you get to choose if it's seafood, if it's curry, if it's the original flavour noodles. So you do get to choose the flavour, like one of four.
Could you put your own secret powder in there? Like
Donaldson's cocaine special.
Yeah, just a little tassel of MDMA. I'm having such a lovely time.
Cup noodle. Mama Fukuhande.
I'm in love with everyone in this cup noodle museum.
He wouldn't approve. But no. I made a mistake. He's from Taiwan when it was under Japanese colonial rule. But really interesting story overall, how he did it. And he passed away aged 96, which is quite impressive for a man who created might be the world's most unhealthy food product. But good for him. Cup noodles helped a lot of people through a lot of difficult times, including me at university. I'm no exception, so lifesaver. We got a story this week from Dwayne, who says, G'day, Celestial, Chris and Photon Pete. Myself and my two best mates, Mitchell and Jordan, visited Japan for the first time in February 2023. We'd flown directly from Australia and landed safely after our 10-hour flight. I hate Australians because they don't get jet-lagged when they come to Japan.
No.
They fly straight up. It's like, God damn it, that's not fair.
Lovely.
That's cheating. As I completed the most research and organised the trip, I was in charge of getting us to the hotel in Ginza Chuo City so we could pass out and wake up fresh for the next day. We'd successfully managed to grab our pocket Wi-Fi, Suica card, and take the monorail from Haneda Airport, transfer to the Asakusa line. Upon reaching Takarachō Station, trusty Google Maps advised us to take Exit 3. Oh no, not Exit 3. And wanting to get lost in a country that doesn't speak our native language of Dr. Jelly, I ushered my boys to follow me. Arriving at Exit 3, we were met with an absolutely tragic view of what seemed to be never-ending stairs. Between the three of us, we had five bags and forced ourselves to climb the never-ending mountain of stairs. As we reached the top, out of breath, sweaty and exhausted, we casually looked over to our right and no less than 5 metres away spied an elevator that would have saved us our struggles. Chris and Pete, have you been adamant to follow Google Maps only for it to backfire or make things 10 times more difficult on any of your adventures? Keep up the great work, guys. Dwayne, let it be known, guys, if you come to Japan and you go to Takarachō Station, avoid Exit 3, or better still, just take the elevator right next to Exit 3. I don't think Google demands... I don't think this is Google's fault. I think you should have just looked at the elevator, innit? But...
Yeah.
Fair play.
I'm very much of the opinion to look at the map at the start and I go, right, I roughly need to go like sort of northwest. And then I'd never look at it again until I got incredibly wrong. And I just sort of go, let's head in that direction and we'll course correct when we get there. Rather than, I do think there is something to this. It's my toxic male view of just doubling doon, as Limmy would say. You just sort of bang yourself in one direction and kind of vibe your way to where you need to be. And then when you've done 10 minutes, have another look at the Google map. Because otherwise, you are just spending a lot of time going, right, do I go left or do I go right here? And it's just a waste of time. Vibe it out. And if there's a loved one with you who thinks you're going very wrong, just get needlessly aggressive with them.
Oh, God. You are part of the problem, Pete, especially with your...
I am part of the problem. I'm an absolute nightmare to be with. Yeah.
Oh, head northwest. Yeah. Whenever I go anywhere with Connor, he navigates. He doesn't say left or right. He'll be like, we'll hit a T junction. He'll be like, go west, go eastwards, go down. And it's like, just say left or right,
like
Connor.
Like a graphic adventure.
Why can't we do it?
Yeah. Hidari, Miggy. Hidari, Miggy.
But Google Maps. I remember Google Maps is really dangerous in Japan and the countryside because Japan has a lot of tiny roads that go across massive mountain ranges with nothing. And they're built there to maintain like cables and electricity and all sort of pylons going across the mountains. I remember one time I was in Akita with Charlotte going somewhere and it was like Google was like, oh, there's a secret road that goes through the mountains rather than around it and it'll save you half an hour. We started going down it and we drove down it for... you know, probably 25 minutes, and the road got narrower and narrower. It was in Akita. It was extremely remote. If something went wrong, there was no phone signal. It was dusk. There was bears coming out to eat people. And it was just like, oh, my. In the end, it got to the point where the car was getting, like, just stuck down these roads. It was so narrow. Clearly built for a K car or something. And I had to reverse for about 10 minutes down this road to turn around and go back. But I never forget how scared I was. I realised, you know, 25 minutes into this extremely remote mountain route, I was like, wait a minute, we haven't seen cars or buildings or life for over half an hour. And if you look at the map, we're heading up a 2,000 metre mountain where there's like nothing. And so you've got to be really careful. It does things like that. In other times, in winter, they shut a lot of roads in North Japan because of the snow. And I've gone down roads for 30 minutes and then suddenly hit a wall of like 3 meters of snow because that's where like the snow plow stopped. They just don't bother doing that road in winter. So yeah, Google Maps is I live and die by it for the most part in the cities, but in the countryside, you got to be careful. You got to be careful indeed. Otherwise, you'll end up getting eaten by a bear in Akita or just lost forever in it.
I think when I was in near Mount Atho and we were in an Airbnb, there was like a kind of dirt road. That would have lopped off about 10 minutes of our journey. Similar vibe, really. It just became quite apparent quite quickly that even my tiny little rental car wasn't going to get down there. The rocks were like pinging off the underside of the car. It was just really unsafe, and there was like a beck on each side. my partner finds my driving quite stressful at the best of times. I think she'd hit her limit. Let's say
I find your driving stressful. Those are the times to be careful. Japan, don't worry. For the most part, Tokyo never had a problem with it. I've certainly never had problems with Exit 3. At Takarachō Station. No. I want to go there now and find out how bad these stairs really are.
I'm just not going to be in that station for such a long time, but like, Exit 3 is just stressing me out. I'm going to be dreaming about Exit 3.
Exit 3.
Oh, God.
Well,
Lord.
Speaking of exit, will Hilton make an exit out of Japan after the hatred they've got for their latest commercial?
Link. You're not getting away with that.
I could be a radio
Chris,
DJ. Look at me go.
Chris, there is a new Hilton commercial on your screens. Well, has been on your screens, and then it got taken down swiftly. Contrasting its hotel's flexible customer service with supposedly inflexible traditional Japanese ryokan. Basically, it's an advert for Hilton that shows vacationers stressing out over all of the Riokan's rules about meals and bath times. And the advert cuts to the couple in a Hilton hotel from the Riokan, enjoying basically attentive service with the couple looking smart and relaxed and just having a nice time, because Riokans have very different vibes to what a normal hotel would
have. Did you watch
have.
This?
I did watch this because I agree with everything it says.
Yeah, so it's actually quite hard to find this commercial now. I think it's on Twitter or X or the bloody hell it's called these days. Yeah. If you look for it on X, just type in like Hilton Japan commercial and it'll come up. Mm-mm-mm. And yeah, there's a couple check in and the staff go, oh, breakfast time. What time do you want breakfast? What time? It's between the hours of 7 and 8. And what time do you want dinner? It's between the hours of 5 and 6. And if you want to go to bed, you've got to do this. You want the hot spring, you've got to rent it. And it's like this poor old woman rapidly sort of firing and delivering this schedule. Yeah. And you do have to adhere to a bit of a schedule at a traditional Japanese inn, because they have to manage the guests and whatnot. It's not like a normal hotel where you could do whatever you want. You do have to like book your
breakfast
and lunch.
It's a bit bed and breakfast, isn't it? If you're a Brit and you're familiar with the bed and breakfast, it's a little bit like that, but with more delicious Japanese rules.
Absolutely, it's absolutely. And I get it. I watched the commercial. I found it funny. I didn't think it was offensive, really. But I can see why some people found it annoying and rude, because it contrasts this poor old woman like listing off the times you've got to, and like the camera like pans to the couple and they're just like standing there clutching their luggage looking dead because they've just come out of exit 3 and they're like just want to check in and have a nice time, but they can't because they're having this kind of like dialogue thrown at them. And then it contrasts that with them checking into the Hilton. It's like, you may have dinner whenever you want. And they're like, wow, really? What a great hotel, Hilton. It's not a fair comparison to make, though, between a Ryokan and a Hilton. And to be honest, I've stayed at the Hilton a few times and I've never been impressed.
Right, okay. So well, there's the counterpoint to the Hilton thing. I would say that my dynamic with hotels is like, it's a hotel. You expect a certain level of service and flexibility, and my partner worries about what time breakfast is on until, so she sets her alarm religiously for that time, and would I need to book to eat some food and rest? I'm going, it's fine, it's a hotel, and if they don't have space, we'll just find somewhere to eat. But in a ryokan, which is what we experienced when we landed in, I can't remember where we were. I think it was Wakayama. We landed down there.
Near Osaka.
And we had like a lovely time in is it Ayama Beach or something? It was a beach down that way anyway. As soon as we rocked up, it was like that. It was like all the rules. This is what time you got to do this. Do you want dinner at this time? And I'm just like, I'm just going to drive down the hill. There's a hotel that has a tabahodai buffet that I'm just going to eat all of the food there, because this is just stressing me out. And just things like, you know, just baths and what time you're allowed to do to be fair, to the credit to the ryokan that we stayed in, the best part of it was the onsen's flexibility. The onsen was open 24/7 and you could do, and there was nobody watching me for tattoos and stuff like that, all that nonsense. It was actually quite a nice onsen, as onsen goes. The inflexibility of the food and we had a crack at an Italian meal at one point. Look, not my choice, but we had a crack at an Italian meal, and there were some very lemony choices made in the creation of a resort I would not like to revisit. So it is like it is kind of very spotty and different depending on which ones you go for. But it's just a different vibe, isn't it? Like, I wouldn't recommend, if you're going to stay in Japan for like 2 weeks, don't stay in a ryokan all the time.
Oh, God, no.
Just do a couple of days, experience it, and then get back to the flexibility, because you will need that flexibility when it comes to your hotels and stuff like that.
So I've just finished working on a video called 14 Days in Japan, and it's like a guide to just traveling around Japan. We did stay in a ryokan in Hakone for it. And yeah, I think it's like you said, the idea of you just traveled long distances through weather, and then you get there and you get like a bombarded with like times and things, and it's kind of like,
when do you want your bed?
Just sit in my room and do nothing.
I'll make my own bed. Yeah, just give me throw it on the floor and I'll lie on it.
And unfortunately, with ryokans, you do have to get up pretty early for breakfast. It's like, would you like your breakfast at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m.? It's like, I'll just take my breakfast in the bin. Like, the mornings, you know, they're a bit brutal. So that's the downside. Yeah. But there is a lot of upsides to a ryokan. The atmosphere, amazing. The service and hospitality, top-notch. The food, exceptional. Mm. Hot springs, incredible. Like, the trick is just to not see it as a hotel experience. It's subtly different. But it is often, like, the best bit of your holiday to Japan, I think, for a lot of people. You get the right one with the right food in the onsen. And the food was exceptional at Hakone. A lot better, I would argue, than Hilton. And I think rather than Hilton taking down their ad, ryokan should fund an ad where they can compare and contrast their delicious food to the shit, crap, microwave rubbish you get at Hilton. Something like that. Like, oh, this food's so decadent and fresh.
I mean, Hilton have definitely advertised on this channel. Oh, I'm just saying, Chris, they won't be back.
Oh, God. I mean, Hilton are great. Hilton. But, I mean,
I can't believe how bad they are.
I don't know. But all I know is, I think that would be more funny if, rather than, you know, them taking down their ad, there'd be like a rebuttal from the ryokan industry.
The National Union of, of ryokan owners, yeah.
Yeah. Damn. I hope we don't lose any of those tasty Hilton sponsorships that I didn't know we had.
we've slated every last product to advertise on this podcast. We don't care. If they want us to be nice about it, if they want us to not talk about it, you put your money where your mouth is. Your money where your mouth is.
That's right. We've certainly blown our chances of upper hotels after talking about the racist history book in every room they have, which is worth staying.
You've really got to choose which side you're on with racist hotels. But
yes, we do. And we know which side we're on. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. In our daily lives, we all carry around with us different stressors. They can be big, they can be small, and sometimes we might not even realize that we're carrying them around with us. But if these feelings stay bottled up, they can start to affect us negatively, which is why having a positive outlet for discussion can be such a valuable tool for your well-being. Therapy can be a perfect outlet for your inner stressors. It's a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Sometimes just speaking things out into the open can be such a great release of inner tension, so you can spend less time stressing about the issue and more time figuring out how you can overcome it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got from our listeners this week? Mr. Dawson, fill us in.
We got a message from Robert in Sydney. Hi, Chris and Pete. This is a question for Chris. So this is another one. This is how the question happened in the last episode. This is a question for Chris. So sorry, Pete. Just kick back and relax on this
I'm
one,
just
mate.
So good at giving answers. So good with my knowledge.
Oh. Chris, having now read your book, two questions come to mind. First, would you consider going and making videos in all of these curious places in Sakata so we can see what they're like and which would be quite fun for you to revisit? Does Mar still exist, for example?
Mm.
Second, when I popped the dust cover off the book, I noticed it was bound in white underneath. As most hardbacks are bound in black, I wonder if this was a conscious decision. Did you have any part in it? Love the book. Brilliant. Rob in Sydney. Were you walking around the Penguin Factory looking at different bindings?
Yeah, I love that idea. Like someone on their knees, like, Mr. Broad, what colour would you like your book cover in? I'm like, come here, boy. I would like my hardcover book dust cover thing in brown.
And human skin. I want it done in human skin.
Bare fur covers for all. No, I didn't get to choose at all. I just did it. I got to choose the front cover. Penguin put forward a few options, front cover ideas. Mm. They were terrible. No offence to them. My God.
Right.
But luckily, a friend of mine who's an excellent artist, Matt, the illustrator, I met Matt like 5 years ago and I was like, if I ever do a book, you're the man. And he was like, I'm the man. And then 5 years later, I dropped him a message. I was like, the time is now. And he just finished his Stephen King book covers. So it was kind of cool. From Stephen King to Abroad in Japan. What a massive step down.
I'm glad you treat Penguin with the same disrespect that you treat me when I try and do the
Penguin
artwork for the YouTube channel.
Penguin art, brilliant.
Peter, this is shit. You've done another absolute shitter. I don't know. Bloody YouTube, innit? It's all
Penguin
magic.
Penguin are very nice. They're very good. Honestly, working with Penguin's been a real joy. But I just get the book covers you want. That's the important thing. And to be quite fair to Penguin, when I was like, I don't want that book cover, I want this book cover, they were like, oh yeah, sure. Go whatever you want, mate. Mm. And so that was good. As for the places in Sakata featured in the book, they do still exist. Yeah, most of them still exist. Like Mar is still there. It's called Riru now. R-I-R-U. Really annoying name. Like Riru. Rire or something. Should have just stuck with Mar. A lot bloody easier. But I'd love to go to Sakata and film them. I love Sakata. Sakata is such an underwhelming town if you pass through it. It's kind of like the worst, most run-down city in Japan. But it still looks nice. Everyone's amazing. And the food and scenery are jaw-dropping. So love a bit of Sakata. Mm. You've been there, Pete. You liked it, right? Got on well with
it. I loved it. I thought it was, it was really chill. It was so quiet. It was just like, imagine a place where nobody is there. Like, it's like an absolute ghost town. It's brilliant.
It's accurate.
Like, but it's so rare. It's so rare that you walk around a town and it's like, just there's just nobody around.
Bad city planning. Mm. Like, all the city's broken apart and fragmented. They've got the downtown area, but the shopping mall's like 4 kilometres this way. So everyone has a car. Okay. Nobody walks in Sakata. And it doesn't feel like a conventional Japanese city as a result, where most people are like on bikes or walking. That's the biggest downside. Poor city planning. Mm. There was a big fire in the 1970s at the cinema. It burned down the entire town. And then the person they hired to redo the town clearly didn't do a very good job, unfortunately. Too bad.
Poor guy.
Taking it out on everyone today, aren't I? Take out city planners, Hilton.
The man who rebuilt a town after a fire. God. Talk about kicking a while ahead out.
All right, honestly.
Or on fire.
Well, we got a story from Jim, or a question. Hello, Chris and Pete. I'm an Australian Japanophile in London. I was lucky enough to be at the Abroad Japan Christmas party in London last year. It was great to meet you guys. And Sharla, and Natsuki, Ian. My wife and I have... Thanks for coming, Jim. Hope you had fun. My wife and I finally have a trip to Japan booked for April 24. We're doing a 13-day tour that includes Tokyo, Nagano, Hakone, Kyoto, Osaka, and a few days in Tokyo, respectively. My question is, I would like to get myself a GoPro or a similar camera to document the trip. With 3 days in Tokyo before the tour starts, do you think I would be able to buy one there in Tokyo or get it in London before I go? My understanding is that electronics can be cheaper in Japan. Any recommendations? Highly appreciated. Best regards, Jim. Yes, electronics are generally cheaper in Japan. I don't know the science behind it. Something to do with the currency, the way the currency goes, I guess. I mean, I've just bought some MacBook Pros here for the Journey Across Japan project, and they were a lot cheaper than back home. Mm. So I would consider getting a GoPro here, to be honest. And the good thing about GoPro in particular is you can change the language on it right away, so it won't be all in Japanese and you won't get confused. So, yeah, buy it here. Akihabara. Go to Yodobashi Camera.
I would research how to use the camera first, because you don't want to waste some of your holiday dicking about with the camera.
Which is true.
Great stuff.
Yeah, get it. Go for it. Have beautiful, a bloody good beautiful holiday above all, Jim. All the best. And one last question from Lake Fires, who says, hello, Chris and Pete. I was curious if Chris had any interest in the World Rally Championship in Japan. No, I don't. I'm sure it's awesome and fun, but I am rubbish at sports and I don't watch anything and I'm the least fun person. Whether it's football, sports, rugby, I'm not the guy. That's where Pete Donaldson comes in. Pete, do you want to see the World Rally Championship? It's probably quite fun, to be honest.
I mean, it does look like a lot of fun. It always looks like, because, I mean, we all remember the late Colin McRae's rally on the old PlayStation. I'm sure anybody
that was quite fun
enjoys
game,
a bit of a rally, they get very...
Ridge Racer was where it was at. Ridge Racer.
But whereabouts is it going to be actually taking place? Oh, it's the mountain regions of Aichi and Gifu. That sounds like the thing about like Japan is like car culture is so huge. I imagine there's an absolutely ravenous group of people heading down to watch that taking place. Very ravenous, but and presumably like, quite a lot of snow as well.
Well, I think the massively popular manga series Initial D. A lot of that was set in Gifu and Aichi, I think, in those mountains. So I can see why they do that.
Right.
Actually, I did do drifting recently with YouTube sensation Ludwig over on his channel. If you want to see me drift, I think I did all right, given I'd had no sleep the night before and I only had like 1 hour to learn. I did get to skid around. I did do I think I was able to drift around a corner, so that was kind of fun. But you can check that out on Ludwig's channel. It was a lot of fun. I'd definitely keep doing it again.
I don't know much about Ludwig, but I did watch his a YouTube clip of his mum exposing his real name, which amused me very much. It's just like, Mum! Stop it!
What's his real name then? Isn't that Ludwig?
I'm not telling you. I'm not outing him again. Let me just say, Chris, maybe you know a few more Pete's than you realise.
What? He's not actually called Pete, is he? He's not called Pete.
I think he might be called Pete.
I think his
mother exposed him. His French mum.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Have a look. Figure it out. Yeah.
Is it
out
there?
I mean, I'm not outing someone. I mean, his mum doxed him on air, which amused me.
Jesus.
Terribly.
Dear. Well, go and check out on Ludwig. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to the BornJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back, guys, later in the week. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Born Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Ta-ta!
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's body care breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com code SUMMER.